This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. Welcome back. It's one and it's time for the big one. Thank you, Earl Forsey. By the way, he's giving you a chance to win $1,000 a bunch this afternoon. Another opportunity at 2 o'clock. You got to keep listening.
Win the money.
Right here on The Fan. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. Keep your friends close, your enemies closer. So let's talk about the NFC East foes. Want to start with Odell Beckham being dangled in trade rumors by the Giants and Dez Bryant, who might be cut by the Cowboys. Do you think either or both of those guys ends up not with their current employer when the season starts?
I would tend to lean towards no. I think they both wind up staying. I just feel like a Beckham deal is going to be impossible to get done. A team to give up that much for a guy that has got a lot kind of stirring around him right now just seems like a lot. And for the Giants, they're not going to give up. I mean, they know more than everyone else, and they know just how valuable he is. They were really good 2 years ago with him, and they stunk last year without him. He's maybe as impactful as any position player in football. And for the Cowboys, I feel like if Dez was going to be gone, he'd be gone already. There's a chance post June 1st they decide, you know what, we've gone through OTAs and we don't really love what we see, or we love what we see so much from Allen Robinson and some of these other guys that they've got in there that they can move on. Yeah, I would say Dez is probably more likely to be gone, in my opinion. But I kind of feel like if that move was going to be made, it'd be done already.
Craig, you covered the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, right? In the time before time, many moons ago, when you were just a babe in the woods.
Once upon a time.
Do you think, just as someone that knows the organization and kind of knows them well, do you think they overestimated themselves? Do you think they missed their window from the outside looking in? I can't help but feel like they squandered this cheap Dak Prescott era.
That's tough. I feel like they probably still lament never getting further with Romo than kind of the found money that they have in Dak. And I feel like last year probably feels very much like a lost opportunity because of how good 2 years ago was. But I don't know if they look inward at that. I think Jerry probably still every night gets mad and curses at Roger Goodell for suspending Ezekiel Elliott because he's the guy that obviously makes that engine go there now. So I think that they probably still feel like they're in the middle of it. They're certainly feeling down there that they, and Jerry has said this publicly, and Stephen Jones has said this publicly, that them not getting more out of the Romo era is a total failure on their part because of how good Tony was. And it was just always something, from the fumbled snap by Tony to some injuries to him to some injuries elsewhere on the roster. And then in 2014, they finally had it all come together where Romo was healthy, had one of his best seasons. And then, ironically enough, considering what happened literally yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever the catch rule got approved, their season ends on the Dez Bryant no catch in Green Bay. And that's the year they thought that they finally had it. DeMarco Murray led the league in rushing. Their defense was a lot better under Rod Marinelli. And it ends on this bizarre play. So I think that those years are probably lamented more, and they probably still feel like the Dak window is open, and that this year with Zeke back, they can do a lot more. But they're also in a weird cap situation. It's why they basically haven't done anything this offseason. You know, Romo's going to count $19 million against the cap as he's in season two of his broadcast career. So they're in a weird spot down there, and it's something that they've gotten themselves into with some decisions to try to win previously.
Craig Hoffman's our Redskins beat reporter. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home for the Nats. Opening day has been postponed to Friday. 4 o'clock first pitch here on The Fan. Our coverage will start at 3:30. Craig, bouncing back over to the gridiron here into the Skins, Sua Cravens is dealt to Denver. The Redskins move up a handful of picks in the fourth and fifth rounds and then get an additional fifth round pick back. How should we feel about the haul?
I don't know, man. Like, I look at that and just go, okay, like, I guess, because I still think Cravens can be a good player. And I still think the highest upside for the Redskins was him coming back and playing well. With that said, I don't have a full understanding of what would have had to happen for that, and I don't know if that was entirely possible here. I think that there probably was some truth to the notion that Cravens needed to be somewhere else and start over. And whether that's teammates, coaching staff, front office, just kind of getting out of this situation, whatever the reasons are, no one really wanted to talk about it. So it's hard to get a straight answer. People were sensitive to his situation. I think once they kind of found out what it was, as I've said before, I think teammates would have welcomed him back. I also think the Redskins were hamstrung by the fact they didn't have a third rounder this year. Could they have maybe gotten a little bit better trade if they could have swapped third rounders with the Broncos? Well, you can't swap if you don't have. So, I guess
what do you make of the coaching staff souring on him as quickly as they did?
I mean, I get it. From an emotional standpoint, because they were planning to have him and they designed so much around him and his ability to be a playmaker, and then he leaves. But that said, you have to me, you have to be the adult and get over that and realize, like, we're adults. He's a young adult, but he's in many ways still a kid. We knew he was immature, and that was going to be part of the equation. And then when his immaturity shows up, they just are like, well, we can't deal with this. So I get it, but at the same time, I think if I was in that situation, I probably would have handled it differently. I'm not in that situation. And I also don't know what happened behind the scenes, so it's hard for me to say. But from what I know, I would have been like, we're going to welcome this kid back. We're going to try to do everything we can to set it up so he can play. But I also understand why the coaching staff got so upset with the timing of how everything went, the way everything went down, the lack of communication. I understand all that, too. And I think there is some level of tying this to the Cousins storyline where sometimes it's just better to be over and be done and move on and wipe your hands and have a clean slate. And I think with what they saw out of Monte Nicholson last year at that safety spot, they figured that was probably the best play.
Craig, you mentioned that secondary. They're minus Breland. I'm just taking a look at the balance sheet here. They're minus Breland, minus Fuller, now minus Cravens. Now, they've got some of their own guys internally that they've signed that they like, and they're plus Skandrick. Have they made maybe a secondary piece into a need, or do you trust their evaluation that some of these young guys, the Nicholsons, the Fuller, not Fullers, Quentin Dunbar and Fabian Moreau can step up and step in, or do you think they've made a need here?
It's such a tough question because I think that they still could upgrade at nickel, but I trust the other guys. I trust Dunbar. And I know, Grant, when I was in a couple weeks ago, you and I, this is maybe our biggest football disagreement. I think Quentin Dunbar is a starting corner in the NFL right now. And I really honestly don't think it's that much of a drop-off, if there's a drop-off at all, from Bashaud Breland. I know he's got to prove it, but from a level standpoint, I think Quentin Dunbar is that good. On the inside, you're not getting what you got from Fuller last year. There's no doubt there's a downgrade there. And then if Nicholson is healthy, which is an enormous if, because he was never healthy at Michigan State, and obviously last year he wasn't healthy either, but if somehow they can get him and keep him healthy, that dude's a stud, and he's going to be an upgrade and make everyone else better because he covers so much ground over the top, and he frees up Swearinger to play more in the box and make some of the impact plays that he made in the running game last year. So I think their secondary could overall be better if Nicholson is healthy and kind of he's the key to unlocking it all. But from a position-to-position talent standpoint, I do think they probably have taken at least a small step back, and we'll see if Dunbar can perform to what I think and they think he is, and see how big that step back is.
What's the next thing for the Redskins this offseason that we're going to hear about, you think?
It's got to be something on the D-line. And the question is, can they get John? Like, who blinks first in the Jonathan Hankins standoff? It seems like they're kind of moving on from that. But if all of a sudden Hankins comes back and is like, you know what, that deal you guys offered me, we'll take it. I don't think they're going to be like, well, actually, we're good, because he's the best player on the market. So maybe some kind of secondary pass rusher. Maybe they look at another corner. There's a bunch of small little things that they could still work on. I don't know how much more is coming in free agency. I know they would love to get another D lineman, so that's why I say it's that. But I don't be surprised if the next thing that happens with them is the draft either. And obviously, we'll get a lot more clarity on what teams are thinking and what kind of player could fall to 13 and that first-round pick coming up as we move towards April 26. What is that now? I guess less than a month from now.
Less than a month away. Running back early or late? Now, Jay Gruden has said a couple different things to you, it sounds like, I guess, over the span of a week, right?
Yeah, no, as we talked about yesterday, the exchange yesterday, I don't know where that report that we'd take a running back early came from, and I just shouted across the table, Jay, you said that to me last week on the radio. I would think early. I think they want to get, whether it's trading back in the first and a guy like Darius Geis, who might go that high, or maybe even Sony Michel, depending on where they trade back to and how things fall, late first, early second. It's so risky right now because that run on running backs is going to depend on when it starts and how quickly teams try to jump up and grab them. Because once Geis goes, then there's some pressure. Okay, in what class of Ronald Jones, Sony Michel, all those guys, like how do teams rank them? How much separation? And then what are the tiers? We know Barkley is on a tier on his own. Then the next tier is Darius Geis. Do other teams have Ronald Jones, Sony Michel, and whoever else in with Darius Geis? Or is there another gap? And then if there's another gap, who else is in there? Is Rashad Penny in that group by the Skins evaluation? Is Nick Chubb in that group by the Skins evaluation? So that's kind of more how the draft works than a specific board. It's in tiers. And if all of a sudden the tier, that tier two or tier three, however they categorize it, of running back that they'd want at that 13th pick of the second round starts to dissipate, do they feel like they need to make a move and go up and get one? Or do they go, you want to know what? We're just going to have to settle for someone a little bit farther down, in which case, you know, when that fourth round pick comes around that's now a little bit higher thanks to the Cravens trade, is that where they strike?
At Craig Hoffman on Twitter, our Redskins beat reporter. Follow him there. Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
Always appreciate it. We're Grant and Danny next. An NHL team has an idea. Come the playoffs for a way that you get your tickets for cheaper and you help them out at the same time.
And I love it so much.
They'll scratch your back. You're going to scratch their back. That's next on The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Chad Dukes versus the world at 2, just 40 minutes away. He'll be back in studio after being over at the ballpark yesterday for the exhibition game. You see what the Vegas Golden Knights are doing with their playoff tickets to help get butts in seats, but more importantly, to lower the cost for you and get the right butts in seats.
The correct butts in seats.
They know that they're going to be sold out. They know that those are tough tickets to come by. For those of you that aren't familiar, don't follow hockey. They're an expansion team. Caveat being that they made it easier than ever for an expansion team to play really well because they made it easier to pluck good players off of rosters. But they did an amazing job putting their roster together, led by former Caps general manager George McPhee, who did a good job here, and he's done a great job in Vegas. So what the Vegas Golden Knights are going to do for their playoff games is they're going to allow you to purchase discounted tickets. They're going to save you money when you purchase your seats if you promise to them and you agree and sign off on not then turning around and selling your tickets on the secondary market.
It's called the Knight's Vow.
So here is how this is going to go down according to Sinbin Vegas.
Yes.
The Golden Knights have announced the Knight's Vow for season ticket holders. So it's only people who have their season tickets.
Right.
When you buy playoff tickets, in short, you're going to pay less than everyone else, but then you forfeit the right to sell your tickets on StubHub or other sites like that, which means that non-Golden Knights fans could, say, Nashville Predators fans, buy those tickets and be in the arena cheering on the team that in Vegas is visiting the Golden Knights. So they're trying to curb visiting fans from getting playoff tickets. I think that this is completely genius, Danny.
There, of course, are people who are season ticket holders in Vegas complaining about it because there's one permutation that may not work out for them. I don't care about this.
What is that permutation?
So the couple guys are complaining that it forces you to make a decision before the entire playoffs now, and if you can't go to a game, you just have to eat the cost of the ticket. Some kind of whining that takes place in there. Put these people aside. This is what I would do. This is the ultimate test. What do you care about, pro sports organization? Do you care about winning above everything else? Are you in the business of winning, or are you in the business of business? If you're in the business of business, I don't fault what you're doing. You try to, you know, gouge fans on concessions, or you try to charge this much for parking, or you figure out what you figure out. But when you lie to me and tell me you're in the business of winning and then don't take steps like this, It shows me you're actually not in the business of winning, but in the business of business.
This is intelligent and it's clever.
It's how you win.
Smart. This is just an astute decision.
You ensure as everything you control to try to have the best home field possible. People can't believe that I take the stance that I would take, where I would do everything I could to keep opposing fans out of my stadium. Everything I could, whether it meant just having a bus pick up guys from the local neighborhood that had the correct jersey on. I would do everything possible to ensure that my environment and my building was as good as it could possibly be at all times. This is what you do. This. Things like this.
What's amazing about this is they don't even really need to do this. Do you know how many people in Vegas who love the Golden Knights would kill for one of these tickets? There are, because it's their inaugural season, way more fans to get into the arena than there are tickets to be had. I mean, they have parades that go down the street. I was talking to Bryce Harper about this in the clubhouse at spring training. Before every single game, there is a huge clamoring for tickets, and they don't need to motivate you not to give them up to an opposing fan. Now, this is a necessity in other places. This is a great idea at Capital One Arena for the Wizards in the regular season or even the playoffs. This is an awesome idea at Nats Park in the regular season or the playoffs. It's not even needed in Vegas, but it is awesome. Here's something the A's are doing. I saw this a couple weeks ago. Matter of fact, this was maybe earlier this week, and I wanted to bring it up to you. The Athletics in Major League Baseball in Oakland are offering $20 parking discounts to Giants fans who yell "Go A's" at games. The Oakland Athletics will try a new strategy with opposing fans when the team takes on crosstown rival San Francisco. This was in an exhibition game to be played this weekend. According to a news release via MLB.com, the Oakland Coliseum cost for parking was $50 for Giants fans, but only $30 for Athletics fans. So they actually charged more if you were in Giants gear than if you were in A's gear.
I'd do that.
I think that's awesome. For some reason, it's not done, and it's considered to be not okay and not fair.
It's bad form, and then you start to go down a slippery slope of charging different people different things. I would do these sorts of things.
If you wear gear of the opposing team, you should be charged more. It should cost you more to park, and it should cost you more to get in, and it should cost you more to drink a soda. Get them out of the arena.
If you've got one guy in a Cowboys jersey in your car, you owe me $1,000 to park. That's how I would do it.
Now, here's the bit that they did to kind of make everyone have fun with it. If a Giants fan who was being charged $50 instead of $30 yelled "Go A's" loudly at the parking gates as they entered, then they would only be charged the same $30 as an A's fan. So make up your mind. Either
doing
you
a bit,
say,
yeah, or swallow your pride, yeah,
and get $20
How
off.
How much is your pride worth? $20
Or drive in for $50 I think that was fun. But those are a couple of the unique little fun things that are done in terms of home field, home ice atmosphere. But this idea, NHL postseason is such a good time. In Nashville, they don't need to do this. In Vegas, they don't need to do this. But they're trying something. And I give them credit for that.
All I want at all times, this goes for my athletes, for my organizations, for college teams that I like, for individual people here at your job, wherever you guys are listening to this show, we thank you, wherever you're working. All I expect and all I want for you to do is everything you can do. If you've exhausted every avenue, every option, every attempt, and you can do no more, you get to say, there's nothing else I could have done. We did everything we possibly could. We dotted every I, we crossed every T. It just didn't work out for us. That's what I want. That's the only thing you can expect as a fan or a fat idiot like me sitting in the studio talking about sports.
The least you can do, and if you don't do this, then frankly it's malpractice, is to disallow tickets to be purchased via the zip code on plastic credit or debit from the opposing fan base's city. That's the least you can do. And I think Ted Leonsis has always done that, right? He's always made it very difficult if you're, you know, a Pennsylvania or Pittsburgh area code.
I don't know if he's always done it, but I think it's been done.
I know they've done it in the past.
It's been done for sure, yeah.
It's definitely something he's big on. I don't know that Dan Snyder does that. Do the Redskins ever do that?
Well, the Nationals went from bussing people down from other cities to not doing that. They did take back the park. And again, I thought whatever hashtag or slogan, I don't like that stuff. I like baseball, but you know what? God bless them for trying. Do that. When the Wizards, obviously, you remember how they used to advertise, come see Kobe Bryant, come see Tim Duncan, come see the best in the league. No wonder a bunch of fans of other teams used to infect that arena. They stopped doing that. They're trying. I want you to try. It's not going to be foolproof. Enemies will get in. Bad fans, bandwagon punks who just like Boston to troll you. They're going to get in the arena. You can't stop it. You can't stop Cowboys fans because they are a virus. They're an infectious disease that plague our society. They're going to be everywhere. All I'm saying is do everything you possibly can to eliminate them. Not everything is going to be foolproof, but I'd rather have 60% effectiveness than 10%. Do more.
What do you guys think about what the Vegas Golden Knights are doing in their first year in existence? 800-636-1067 is the number if you'd like to chime in. That's 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're Grant and Danny. We are on Twitter. I'm at Grant H. Paulson.
I am at Funny Danny.
At risk of playing the birthday game.
Oh, here we go.
Calling in Lavero style. I wanted to wish a happy birthday to Luke Walton. I was surprised at his age. Luke,
I'm going to guess he's 42.
And that's a lovey. That's your lovey?
Oh, I just threw it out there.
How do you feel about that?
I feel okay.
Yeah?
I mean, he and I did a show together once, and I was like, is this weird? And he goes, no, I don't have any weirdness. I was like, okay, it's fine. Let's keep going. Me and you.
Happy birthday. New year.
You
new
said he's year. 42?
I guess 42 on Luke Walton.
He's 38.
Really? He's my age?
Yes. He's basically basketball's Sean McVay.
You know who's more successful than me? Luke Walton.
Very much
Luke
so.
Luke Walton. If
I'm not joning on you, but I'm just saying he's really successful.
It's not a joan. That's just, if we're doing a graph, his bar goes up higher than mine.
You know,
happy birthday.
New year. You know who else
new year
has a birthday this year? Or I guess birthday. Today?
I think a lot of people.
Yeah, probably a lot of people this year. Happy birthday.
Dar new does.
Year.
New year.
maybe everyone.
When's yours? Yours is in the spring.
Mine's in May.
May, right?
Jason Garrett's birthday today. How does he still have the head coaching job of the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, there's a string that comes right from him, goes into my pocket, and I have a buzzer. And when he does something I don't like, I hit that buzzer, and it shocks him, and it goes right back to doing the thing that I like him doing. It's parroting what I say behind the scenes. I'm the devil. Back to you.
Well done.
Thanks.
I think your Jerry is better than your Lovey. But your Lovey, just, you need to work on it. That was the first time I've ever heard you workshop that. Lovey's got potential. You just haven't done it a whole lot.
I haven't done it much. I used to do it back in the day way more when he was on the other station.
Yes, that's true. When he was on opposite us with Kevin Sheehan, you would have an entire Kevin Sheehan, Tom Lavero.
I would do the entire show where they alternated between talking about Redskins and Maryland.
Right.
That was my impression of the show.
So much Maryland basketball. It's really crazy.
Coalfield House, me, no pants.
David Bethesda, what's up?
Grant Paulson, it's David Elfin.
Hey, David,
what's up, man?
How are you?
Danny? Gentlemen, I didn't hear George McPhee's name invoked. I may have missed that part of it, but you guys, of course, know that the Caps' formal general manager is running that incredibly successful team out there in Vegas.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
That's how
Absolutely.
We did it at the top. Yeah, it's amazing.
He's not a promotion kind of guy, but he may have had a hand in this, having been through enough of those playoff series here where there were too many Penguin fans in the building.
No doubt. There's no question about that.
Props to him on that. But also, I want to talk to you about and Grant, you know this, and Danny, you probably do too, why we have so many Cowboy fans around here, unfortunately, is because of George Preston Marshall being such a racist that many African-Americans around here decided when the Cowboys came in and had African-American stars like Don Perkins and Bob Hayes that they were going to show George Preston Marshall and his football team they're going to root for somebody else. And that's what they did.
Huh. I mean, I actually never heard that point blank like that. But I always wonder, why are there so many Cowboys fans in this area?
David, that's definitely one of the main reasons.
Here's an example for you guys. And Grant, indulge me here. When I was covering the Redskins for the Washington Times, I went to a basketball exhibition at Smith Center, Redskins-Cowboys. This is February or March of 93. The Redskins are 2 years removed from a Super Bowl championship, a year removed from winning a playoff game. Yes, the Cowboys had just won their first Super Bowl under Jimmy and Jerry. The fans there at GW for this basketball exhibition were rooting for the Cowboys.
Huh.
So this goes back a long way, and this goes back way before the Cowboys became who they are under Jerry. They just won their first Super Bowl, you know, with Jerry, and the fans were screaming for Alvin Harper and whoever else were playing for the Cowboys and not for the Redskins guys.
I mean, after a Super Bowl, a lot of people are going to jump on a bandwagon. What about before that?
Well, but I'm saying you go back and you look at the racial breakdown of who wears Cowboys jerseys at FedEx Field next year, and you see it's very much a black-white thing.
Really? I've never thought of it that way.
And they're not out-of-towners. They're from here.
There's a lot of guys who say,
insulted.
That's what them Cowboys did.
Yeah, I got plenty of those guys, too. David, I think that's where it started, and I definitely agree with you, and there's the history there. But it ignores the fact that we just had a season where Carson Wentz was the number one selling jersey in the D.C. area. This past campaign.
I'm not explaining everybody else here rooting for other teams. I'm just saying the Dallas part of it, a large part of it, is a racially based thing from George Preston Marshall being such a racist.
100%. That's the thing.
We are unfortunately not a great sports town. In fact, there are so many people from somewhere else. And things like you mentioned with Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan.
Yep.
A. Poland was doing that in the 70s or the 80s when they had, you know, come see Magic Johnson, come see Larry Bird, and don't come see the Bullets. So this has been going on for a long time here. And unfortunately, ESPN and everything else have encouraged kids to root for who is ever hot. I mean, nobody ever saw a Houston Astros jersey. Now you'll see them all the time this year.
Oh, absolutely. It's an easy thing to do. But you like what the Vegas Golden Knights are doing. What do you say to the fans who are upset? Because let's say I'm a season ticket holder who wants to get my playoff tickets all postseason long, but there's one game I can't go to, and now I'm not able to sell those tickets. What do you say to that fan?
Well, are we sure that's going to happen? Are season ticket holders really going to be closed out because of this?
No. The season ticket holders are getting the discounted tickets for all the games, but the way they get the discounted tickets is to agree that they can't sell any of the other tickets, I guess, on a secondary market. So you could probably, I guess, sell them to a buddy or something like that.
Right. And so I don't think that's a big crimp in your style if you can't sell it on StubHub or something. Really, that's a problem for you?
Your team has
overachieved so incredibly this season. No one thought they were going to do this. They are now going to have home ice advantage in at least one or two series. Why would you have any complaints whatsoever?
Yeah, me and Danny are 100% behind what they're doing. Anything that can be done to keep fans out of stadiums that are not the home fan, I'm generally for. Dave, it's good to hear from you again, man. Really cool to have you on the show.
Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, buddy. Stay in touch. There's Dave Elfin. For those of you not familiar, of course, you've heard him on The Fan a whole lot over the years, but longtime Redskins writer, columnist in town who covered the team for the Washington Times, among other outlets. It's cool to have him on the show.
He has as much institutional memory and knowledge as anybody in the greater D.C. area.
Yeah,
in terms of old school sports. Yeah, he knows everything.
He's written a bunch of the books going back 50, 60, and 70 years just on organizational history. So cool phone call from him. One of the great things that happened in sports last night. This is a little bit off the beaten path, so you'll have to bear with me. Exhibition game is being played between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Toronto Blue Jays. We wouldn't bring this up if something awesome didn't happen, so calm down. Cardinals have their pitching prospect, Jack Flaherty, on the mound. There's no reason to know or care about him, but no, he was high school teammates with Lucas Giolito at one point in time at Harvard Westlake in L.A.
Okay.
Not important to the dude's story. Flaherty throws a pitch, hangs a breaking ball. At the plate is a young man named Vladimir Guerrero Jr. His father, Vladimir Guerrero, was a superstar with the Montreal Expos. This game was being played in Montreal, and because of that, Guerrero Jr. was on the roster and in the lineup and wearing his dad's number 27.
It's cool.
And it was just a cool thing so that all the fans in Montreal could see Vladdy Guerrero Jr., who resembles his dad in some ways and is arguably the best hitting prospect in the sport.
He's got the same swing, man.
Same swing.
The look, the way he holds his hands, the hand hitch before he violently comes through the zone.
Tie game, ninth inning, end of the night. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. at the plate in Montreal.
Well, how about a ninth inning walk-off home run?
That would be the cherry on top of his ice cream that he was talking about the other day for this whole thing.
Oh, my! Get up, ball! Get up, and right on cue! What a way to cap off the spring!
That, my friend, is unbelievable. What a talent.
You can't even make it up. How about that?
He's in Montreal where his father made his name, wearing his number. He comes up with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, and the crowd doesn't want to leave. Hits a home run, and they want a curtain call.
There were fans crying. They were just panning the crowd. Sports. sports, everybody.
It's sports.
This is what it's all about. Sport. How about the French call last night of Vladdy Guerrero Jr.?
I got a couple words out of that. Incredible.
Okay.
He said, good evening.
Vladdy.
He did a good evening. I don't know if he's doing John Walton's good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good tomorrow morning.
You know what I heard was, save me by Holtby. Oh, baby.
There was another word in there that I got. Usually what the French do, and this is something I know because I got a lot of French ancestry, obviously, with my weird last name. When something happens, they just go, voila, meaning they just point their hand at whatever it is. And simply say, like, there it is. It means everything. It's like Smurf.
So, bonsoir!
That's like good evening. That's bonsoir. But I thought he would just go, voila, meaning, like, there it is.
He's saying good night, game's over.
Yeah, that's it.
That's bonsoir! His version of Joe Angel of the Orioles saying, let's go home after a walk-off home run. He's just saying good night.
He's just saying good night.
Sports. Baseball.
Le sport, c'est bon.
They make you feel, boys and girls. This is why we're here.
She's why we're here.
This is why we do this.
She's why we're here.
Grant and Danny on the fan. Chad Dukes versus the world in 15 minutes. Another chance to win $1,000 coming up at the top of the hour. And another chance to look back at Bruce Allen's comments at the owners' meeting. Something else that stood out to us. Next. Final few minutes of Grant and Danny before we turn you over to Chad Dukes and CDVTW. He's got John Carlson of the Capitals on the show today at 3:45. The Capitals have a critical game tonight because they host the Rangers. Primetime, nationally televised, 8 o'clock drop of the puck downtown, 7th and F Streets at Capital One Arena. So if you've got tickets to the game, it's an hour later than is typically the case. This is a chance to beat up on a bad opponent. Rangers sold at the deadline. The Caps just doubled them up 4-2. You got to go beat them again and take a 7-point lead in the division, which at that point would be almost a mathematical impossibility for the Penguins to come back from. Caps win tonight. They're very likely going to win the Metro Division.
Swing by on the concourse and see Neil and Thom. High-five them. Have some hockey banter as they crash the net at 6:30 post-Meridian after CDBTW. Live in the arena. I think that's a cool deal. So you basically are looking at a 5-point lead. Penguins have 5 games to go. So if you come and Pittsburgh falters at all and you find a way to get yourself 6 points at a minimum, but even 5 points, and Pittsburgh doesn't falter, they can't catch you anymore. You could win this division. That would be a pretty cool accomplishment. People like me, by the way, I was dead wrong. I thought they would take a huge step back. They're not as good as the President's Trophy winning teams of years past, but I didn't think they'd be here, quite frankly. They deserve a lot of credit. Trotz does. The GM does. And those guys in the locker room do as well.
One of the best conversations we had today was way back in hour one when we talked about whether or not the Redskins should stay put at pick 13 and get one of the great defensive players in this draft or trade down and add other picks in round two, potentially round three, where they don't have one right now. This is what Bruce Allen said about the possibility of staying put or trading down.
Well, there's going to be a good football player. We feel very comfortable at 13. There's going to be a good player. And we think, depending on where the quarterbacks start to go in this draft, there'll be an opportunity to move around in this draft to make sure we get maybe extra picks.
So you'd like to trade down? Am I hearing that right? You want to trade up?
No. There's possibilities of everything.
J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington, the other voice you heard there. If you missed that conversation, Danny wanted to move back. I want to stay put and get one of those stalwarts on defense. You can grab the podcast when we're done today at thefandc.com and grantanddanny.com/audio. We also broke down Nationals opening day with Jamal Collier. If you are just joining us on The Fan, your flagship home for the Nats, know this. Opening day has been pushed back one day. There will be no game in Cincinnati tomorrow as planned. The Nats will open the season in Cincy on Friday afternoon, a 4:05 first pitch right here on The Fan. Supposed to rain all day tomorrow. Heavy rainstorms in Cincinnati in the afternoon and early evening. So they've pushed the game back. So kudos to the Nats and the Reds for not waiting. This is why you have that extra built-in
off day. That's
why
they always do it, yeah.
On Friday, you can hear the pregame starting at 3:30, and then the first pitch right after 4 right here on The Fan. The other major news to remind you of on the way out here, Sua Cravens has been traded. The Redskins have moved him to Denver. They will move up a handful of picks, flipping 4th and 5th round selections with the Broncos to move up the board about 8 picks. And add a 5th round pick for Cravens. So effectively, other than minor draft positioning, they traded Cravens for a 5th rounder.
This, again, was a sunk cost. This was a loss overall, given the fact that you invested a 2nd round pick and tried to get him to play for you and be part of this new age defense where he's sometimes a linebacker, sometimes a safety, sometimes something else. But the situation was bad enough. The fact that you recovered something, that you got something back, what could have been zero, is, to me, commendable. I think the Redskins, Bruce Allen and company, did a good job here.
If you are a Caps fan and you'll be watching tonight's game, check me out on NBC Sports Washington from 7 to 7:30, hosting Caps Face-Off post-game for a full hour tonight, about a half hour after the game, for Caps Overtime. Danny, what do you got on the docket this evening?
Nothing tonight. We're gearing up for a weekend full of DC Improv shows. Rory Scovel and myself.
That's a lie, by the way, because you just told me 10 minutes ago, you said I have a dentist appointment today. And the craziest thing is, his
well,
dentist appointment is actually at 2:30.
I always
do the joke that, hey, it's 2:30. It's time for my dentist appointment. You're literally walking into the dentist for your appointment at 2:30. I'm so happy
about
that.
Well, it's on the docket tonight. That was an afternoon thing. But, yes, I'm going to the dentist right now. 2:30 is when the dentist appointment is.
I love it. Tom, Brendan, great job, as always.
CDB2W is up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.